Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
He is risen. Y'all are better than the 10:30 crowd. They got a D- the first time I did it, okay? So we learned that last year, or maybe the year before, that the Christians in ancient times in the Easter season would greet one another, not with hello, how you doing, what's going on, but with he is risen. And the response would be, he is risen indeed. And so that's how you're doing. How are you? You're doing, I am a child of God, and today is the day of the resurrection, and I am filled with joy because of his victory over sin and death. That's who I hope you are anyway. That's what I hope marks your being. You know, a moment ago, Deacon Eddie read the gospel, and when we got to the end of the gospel, we had Peter looking into the tomb. And Peter's looking into the tomb, and the word says, he did not yet understand the scripture. He did not yet understand. You know, understanding is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Understanding, along with knowledge and wisdom and piety and even fear of the Lord, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Understanding, the understanding of God's word and understanding the mystery of God and understanding the victory of Jesus over sin and death, you know, that is not an intellectual accomplishment. It's not a prize that goes to the brightest kid in the classroom. You don't get that with your valedictorian. Understanding is a gift of God poured into a heart that wants to know the truth, that wants to live the truth. Do you understand? You know, I want you all this afternoon, I want you all to ask yourselves a question. I want you to really go into that place in your heart. I want you to think about this challenge, this question that I'm going to present to you. Is your relationship with Jesus Christ, is your understanding of the power of God, is your relationship with Jesus Christ something that you want everybody else in the world to have, that you desperately desire for your husband or your wife, your friends and your neighbors to have, that your coworkers and your neighbors and even your enemies, that you want them to have what you have, that you have it, you have this beautiful gift living in your soul, and it wants out, and it wants to go to others. It wants to be shared. It animates your life. It gives you joy, even in difficulties. Is that what you have? Because if you don't have that, then you don't have it. You don't have what God wants you to have on this Easter Sunday evening. God wants you to have this understanding, this wisdom, this power that doesn't come from having made the best grades in religion class, but comes from having a heart that wants to know the truth of God, and the truth of God comes to that heart. When you got it, you want others to have it. And you know why? You know why I'm a priest? You know why I'm standing up here in front of you? It's not for the pay, okay? That's not why. Okay. You know why I'm up here? Because I want you to have that. I want it to animate your life. I want it to transform you, and I want it to transform your family and your workplace and your friends. I want to give you the good news. You know the good news? I mean, it really is good. It's the best. It's inestimably good. If you don't have it, I want you to want it. And then when you get it, I want you to give it away. And it is good. You know, we have a relatively new bishop, Bishop Lewis Kinnaman. We've had him for 2 years. And Bishop Kinnaman's been on a kick the whole time since he got here. Since day one, he got off the bus, so to speak, and he got on this kick. And this is his kick. He wants me to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he wants me to make you disciples of Jesus Christ, and he wants you to make others disciples of Jesus Christ. Making intentional disciples of Jesus Christ. And what does it mean to be a disciple? To be disciplined, to be a learner, someone who is learning, someone who sits at the feet of Jesus and walks with him on the way. And do you have that? Maybe today, as you think about it, maybe today in a new way, maybe this very night in a way that you haven't had it before, you'll get it. Maybe today you'll say yes in a way you've never said yes before, at a depth and with a desire and a hope that you say, no matter what it is, God, that's what I want. I want what Father Mike's up there talking about. The good news. You know, the good news goes like this, though. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the good news. It goes like this. I'll tell you one bit of good news. Last night, we were here 2.5 hours, okay? I'm not keeping you that long. That's the first good news, okay? First bit of the good news. Last night, we read most of the Old Testament. No, not most of it, but a lot of it, okay? It's one of the reasons we were here so long last night. We read the entire story of creation from chapter 1 of Genesis. And this is how the story of Genesis goes. It goes, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the dry land and the sea, and he saw that it was good. He created the plants and the vegetation, and he saw that it was good. He created the birds and the cattle, and he saw that it was good. And then he gets to the end of the creation story, and he creates Adam and Eve. And when he sees Adam and Eve created, he said, and it is very good. Very good. And so he created us, and he looked upon humanity, and he sees that it is very good. And so that's us. That's who we were made to be. See, God made us good. He made us with a plan. He made us with a purpose. But then, that's the good news. But then, you know what we got? We got the bad news. And the bad news is that sin entered the world. And with sin comes death and disease and dysfunction and divorce and division and destruction and disasters and death. And it's all around us. It's all around us, it's even in us. And so we have this sea of turmoil and sickness and sadness that swirls around our lives, and people desperately try to grasp and grope and figure it all out. And it's hard to figure it out. In fact, you know, it can be so confusing, people become disoriented, lost. And that world tries to creep in on us. And that's kind of the bad news. You know, last Sunday, what was last Sunday? Last Sunday was Palm Sunday. Some of you were with me on Palm Sunday, right? Some of you were here on Palm Sunday. And what I asked you to do on Palm Sunday is I asked you to go to the garden with Jesus. So we left the upper room, where Jesus had washed Judas's feet. And Jesus walks down into the Kidron Valley and up the Kidron Valley on the other side to the Mount of Olives. And on the Mount of Olives, there's a garden, and that garden is the Garden of Gethsemane. And I ask you to go into the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. And Jesus goes there, and he takes on all that death, disease, destruction, dysfunction, divorce, all of that disaster, all of that, and he kneels in the garden. And I asked you last week, remember this, those that were here, I asked you to kneel next to him. And so you're kneeling next to Jesus in the garden. And you look at him. And you see the blood coming out of the pores in his forehead. And you see it dripping down his face. And the weight of death and disease and sin and sickness is on him. And it's such a powerful weight, it's like it's pushing him into the ground. And the weight of the world is on his shoulders. He was in such agony. And you're there with him. And then you know it's my disease that he has. It's my sickness. It's my death that he's bearing. He's doing this for me. He's taking my punishment. And you know, he gets up from that garden. He gets up from the garden and he goes through a Mickey Mouse trial. And he gets beat up and spit on and kicked and rejected, lied about, and ultimately he hangs on a cross, right? We know this story. And as he's hanging on that cross, there's a huge crowd there. There's a giant crowd, and you're in it. You are in the crowd in front of Jesus on the cross, and he's hanging on the cross, and he's filled with death and disease and destruction. And he looks out into the crowd, and he sees you. And he's looking right at you. And he prays, Father, forgive him. Father, forgive her. And he's staring at you. Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. And he dies your death. He nails your sins to the cross. And he dies your death. And they put him in the ground and they roll a stone in front of it. And they wash their hands. And they say, we're done with that problem. But what happens today? What happens today? He's not a problem. He's a solution. And he rises from the dead. And he gives you and me new life. He gives us the power to understand. He gives us the power to be transformed. He gives us the good news of eternal life. We were created by God with a purpose. When God looked upon human beings made in his image and likeness, he looked into our souls and he said, very good. But then when our Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself our sins and our death and our destruction and imparted into our souls new and eternal life. Now we are called to be like God, to have the very life of God in us, and that we look forward to an eternity with God, that we know we are pilgrims away from home, journeying back to our homeland to be transformed not into dust at death, but into saints of the Most High. That yes, even if we taste death, we will not die. And even if we die, we will live if we live in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? See, now I'm going to tell you something. You're not just going to figure that out by being the smartest kid in the class. See, this isn't something that's just figured out. Now, granted, we have to use our intellectual gifts. We have to use our capacity to study and think and look for insights. But at the end of the day, faith is a gift. And this gift is received by a heart that wants it. Do you have it? I want you to think about that today. I want you to think about this question. Is my relationship with Jesus Christ something that I want everybody else to have? Is my understanding, is my peace and patience and kindness and generosity, are the fruits of the Spirit alive in me, and I want others to have what I have? Because if you don't have that, you don't have it all. There's more for you. You know, there's more for you. And that's good news too, isn't it? Because we're all on this journey. Brothers and sisters, we're all on this journey. Today is Easter Sunday. Today we have the opportunity to be renewed again in the life of Christ. After our Lord rose from the dead and Peter saw him and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and then Peter finally got it. He went out of the street full of courage and he said to the big crowd there, and he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and your sins will be forgiven and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And a few minutes from now, I know most all of you, just about everybody here was baptized when you were a little baby, right? Most of you, some of you a little older. And a few minutes from now, we're going to renew our baptism. And a few minutes from now, I'm going to ask you all to stand up, right? And I'm going to ask you a few questions. And you're going to answer them because the person next to you is answering them, right? No. You're going to answer them because you want to answer them. You're going to answer them because you do believe. You do reject. You do want a new life. You do want to know what Father Mike's up there going on and on about. So in a few minutes, we're going to do that. And I'm going to ask you to mean it. And I'm going to ask you to do something today. You know, our Lord says, seek and you will find, right? Ask and you will receive, right? Knock and what? It'll be open for you. So you know. So you already know. Seek and knock and ask and receive. See, God wants us to have this. Let's not get stuck in this broken world of death and disease and selfishness. Yeah, I know it's all around us. I know you can't turn on the television. I know you can't drive down the street. I know you can't hardly look out your fence, over your fence. But brothers and sisters, there's a life that God wants to live inside of you. And if your relationship with God isn't something you want everybody else to have, there's room to grow. And maybe today you're going to grow. Maybe today, for the first time in a long time, maybe today, for the first time ever, you're really going to say, I do believe. I want to believe. Maybe today, for the first time ever, you're really going to say, I reject you, Satan. I really reject you. Maybe today, you'll begin anew a journey of having a faith, a relationship with God that you want everybody else to have.